Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And now Chapter 22, The Killing of Satrajit and Shatadanva. After Akura visited Hastinapur and reported the condition of the Pandavas to Krishna, there were further developments. The Pandavas were transferred to a house which was made of shellac and was later set ablaze. And everyone understood that the Pandavas, along with their mother, Kunti, had been killed. This information was also sent to Lord Krishna and Balaram. After consulting together, they decided to go to Hastinapur to show sympathy to their relatives. Krishna and Balaram certainly knew that the Pandavas could not have been killed in the devastating fire. But in spite of this knowledge, they wanted to go to Hastinapur to take part in the bereavement. On arriving in Hastinapur, Krishna and Balaram first went to see Bhishmadev because he was the chief of the Kuru dynasty. Then they saw Kripacharya, Vidura, Gandhari, and Drona. Other members of the Kuru dynasty were not sorry because they wanted the Pandavas and their mother to be killed. But some family members, headed by Bhishma, were actually very sorry for the incident, and Krishna and Balaram expressed great sorrow without disclosing the actual situation. When Krishna and Balaram were away from the city of Dwarka, there was a conspiracy to take the Syamantak jewel away from Satrajit. The chief conspirator was Shatadanva, who was among those who wanted to marry Satyabhama, Satrajit's beautiful daughter. Satrajit had promised that he would give his beautiful daughter in charity to various candidates, but later the decision was changed, and Satyabhama was given to Krishna along with the Syamantak jewel. Satrajit had no desire to give the jewel away with his daughter, and Krishna, knowing his mentality, accepted his daughter but returned the jewel. After getting back the jewel from Krishna, he was satisfied and kept it with him always. But in the absence of Krishna and Balaram, there was a conspiracy by many men, including even Akura and Kritavarma, who were devotees of Lord Krishna, to take the jewel from Satrajit. Akura and Kritavarma joined the conspiracy because they wanted the jewel for Krishna. They knew that Krishna wanted the jewel and that Satrajit had not delivered it properly. Others joined the conspiracy because they were disappointed in not having the hand of Satyabhama. Some of them incited Shatadanva to kill Satrajit and take away the jewel. The question is generally raised, why did a great devotee like Akura join this conspiracy? And why did Kritavarma, although a devotee of the Lord, join the conspiracy also? The answer given by great authorities like Jiva Goswami is that although Akura was a great devotee, he was cursed by the inhabitants of Vrindavan because of his taking Krishna away from their midst. Because of wounding their feelings, Akura was forced to join the conspiracy declared by sinful men. Similarly, Kritavarma was a devotee, but because of his intimate association with Kamsa, he was contaminated by sinful reaction, and he also joined the conspiracy. Being inspired by all the members of the conspiracy, Shatadanva one night entered the house of Satrajit and killed him while he was sleeping. Shatadanva was a sinful man of abominable character, and although due to his sinful activities, he was not to live for many days, he decided to kill Satrajit while Satrajit was sleeping at home. When he entered the house to kill Satrajit, all the women there cried very loudly, but in spite of their great protests, Shatadanva mercilessly butchered Satrajit without hesitation, exactly as a butcher kills an animal in the slaughterhouse. Since Krishna was absent from home, his wife, Satyabhama, was also present on the night Satrajit was murdered. And she began to cry, my dear father, how mercilessly you have been killed. The dead body of Satrajit was not immediately removed for cremation because Satyabhama wanted to go to Krishna in Hastinapur. Therefore, the body was preserved in a tank of oil so that Krishna could come back and see the dead body of Satrajit and take real action against Saradhanva. Satyabhama immediately started for Hastinapur to inform Krishna about the ghastly death of her father. When Krishna was informed by Satyabhama of the murder of his father-in-law, he began to lament like an ordinary man. His great sorrow is, again, a strange thing. Lord Krishna has nothing to do with action and reaction, but because he was playing the part of a human being, he expressed his full sympathy for the bereavement of Satyabhama, and his eyes filled with tears when he heard about the death of his father-in-law. He thus began to lament. Oh, what unhappy incidents have taken place. In this way, both Krishna and Balaram, along with Satyabhama, the wife of Krishna, immediately returned to Dwarka and began to make plans to kill Shatadanva and take away the jewel. Although he was a great outlaw in the city, Shatadanva was still very much afraid of Krishna's power, and thus when Krishna arrived, he became most afraid. Understanding Krishna's plan to kill him, he immediately went to take shelter of Kritavarma. But Kritavarma said, I shall never be able to offend Lord Krishna and Balaram, for they are not ordinary persons. They are the supreme personality of Godhead. Who can be saved from death if he has offended Balaram and Krishna? No one can be saved from their wrath. Kritavarma further said that Kamsa, although powerful and assisted by many demons, could not be saved from Krishna's wrath. And what to speak of Jarasandha, who had been defeated by Krishna 18 times, and each time had to return from the fighting in disappointment. When Shatadanva was refused help by Kritavarma, he went to Akura and implored him to help. But Akura also replied, both Balaram and Krishna are themselves the supreme personality of Godhead. And anyone who knows their unlimited strength would never dare offend them or fight with them. He further informed Shatadanva, Krishna and Balaram are so powerful that simply by willing they create, maintain, and dissolve the whole cosmic manifestation. Unfortunately, persons bewildered by the illusory energy cannot understand the strength of Krishna, although the whole cosmic manifestation is fully under his control. He cited as an example that Krishna, even at the age of 7 years, had lifted Govardhan Hill and had continued to hold up the mountain for 7 days, exactly as a child carries a small umbrella. Akura plainly informed Shatadanva that he would always offer his most respectful obeisances to Krishna, the supersoul of everything created, and the original cause of all causes. When Akura also refused to give him shelter, Shatadanva decided to deliver to the hands of Akura the Syamantak jewel. Then, riding on a horse, which could run at great speed and up to 400 miles at a stretch, he fled the city. When Krishna and Balaram were informed of the flight of Shatadanva, they mounted their chariot, its flag marked by a picture of Garuda, and followed immediately. Krishna was particularly angry with Shatadanva and wanted to kill him because he had killed Satrajit, a superior personality. Satyajit happened to be the father-in-law of Krishna. And it is the injunction of the Shastras that one who has rebelled against a superior person, or Guru Druha, must be punished in proportion to the severity of the offense. Because Shatadamba had killed his father-in-law, Krishna was determined to kill him by any means. Shatadamba's horse became exhausted and died near a garden house in Mithila. Unable to take help of the horse, Shatadamba began to run with great speed. In order to be fair to Shatadamba, Krishna and Balaram also left their chariot and began to follow Shatadamba on foot. While both Shatadamba and Krishna were running, Krishna took his disc and cut off Shatadamba's head. After Shatadamba was killed, Krishna searched through his clothing for the Syamantak jewel, but he could not find it. He then returned to Balaram and said, "We have killed this person uselessly, for the jewel is not to be found on his body." Sri Balaram suggested, "The jewel might have been kept in the custody of another man in Dvarka, so you'd better return and search it out." Sri Balaram expressed his desire to remain in Mithila city for some days because he enjoyed an intimate friendship with the king. Therefore, Krishna returned to Dvarka and Balaram entered the city of Mithila. When the king of Mithila saw the arrival of Sri Balaram in his city, he was most pleased and received the Lord with great honor and hospitality. He gave many valuable presents to Balaramji in order to seek his pleasure. At this time, Sri Balaram lived in the city for several years as the honored guest of the king of Mithila, Janaka Maharaj. During this time, Duryodhan, the eldest son of Dhritarashtra, took the opportunity to come to Balaram and learn from him the art of fighting with the club. After killing Shatadamba, Krishna returned to Dvarka, and in order to please his wife, Satyabhama, he informed her of the death of Shatadamba, the killer of her father. But he also informed her that the jewel had not been found in his possession. Then, according to religious principles, Krishna, along with Satyabhama, performed ceremonies in honor of his departed father-in-law. In those ceremonies, all the friends and relatives of the family joined together. Akura and Kritavarma, who were prominent members in the conspiracy to kill Satyajit, had incited Shatadamba to kill him. But when they heard of the death of Shatadamba at Krishna's hand, and when they heard also that Krishna had returned to Dvarka, they both immediately left Dvarka. The citizens of Dvarka felt themselves threatened with pestilence and natural disturbances due to the absence of Akura from the city. This was a kind of superstition, because while Lord Krishna was present, there could not be any pestilence, famine, or natural disturbances. But in the absence of Akura, there were apparently some disturbances in Dvarka. Once in the province of Kashi, within the barricade of Varanasi, there was severe drought and practically no rainfall. At that time, the king of Kashi arranged the marriage of his daughter, known as Gandini, with Svapalka, the father of Akura. This was done by the king of Kashi on the advice of an astrologer, and actually it so happened that after the marriage of the king's daughter with Svapalka, there was sufficient rainfall in the province. Due to this supernatural power of Svapalka, his son Akura was also considered equally powerful, and people were under the impression that wherever Akura or his father stayed, there would be no natural disturbance, famine, or drought. That kingdom is considered happy where there is no famine, pestilence, or excessive heat and cold, and where people are happy mentally, spiritually, and physically. As soon as there is some disturbance, people consider the cause to be the absence of an auspicious personality in the city. Thus, there was a rumor that because of the absence of Akura, inauspicious things were happening. After the departure of Akura, some of the elderly members of the town also began to perceive inauspicious signs due to the absence of the Syamantak jewel. When Lord Sri Krishna heard these rumors spread by the people, he decided to summon Akura from the kingdom of Kashi. Akura was Krishna's uncle. Therefore, when he came back to Dvarka, Lord Krishna first of all gave him a welcome befitting a superior person. Krishna is the super soul in everyone and knows everything going on in everyone's heart. He knew everything that had happened in connection with the Akura's conspiracy with Shatadanva. Therefore, he smilingly began to speak to Akura. Addressing him as the chief among munificent men, Krishna said, "My dear uncle, it is already known to me that the Syamantak jewel was left by Shatadanva with you. Presently, there is no direct claimant of the Syamantak jewel, for King Suffragette has no male issue. His daughter, Satyabhama, is not very anxious for this jewel, yet her expected son, as grandson of Satyajit, would, after performing the regulative principles of inheritance, be the legal claimant of the jewel." Lord Krishna indicated by this statement that Satyabhama was already pregnant and that her son would be the real claimant for the jewel and would certainly take the jewel from him. Krishna continued, "This jewel is so powerful that no ordinary man is able to keep it. I know that you are very pious in activities, so there is no objection to the jewels being kept with you. There is one difficulty, and that is that my elder brother, Sri Balaram, does not believe my version that the jewel is with you. I therefore request you, O large-hearted one, to show me the jewel before my other relatives so that they may be pacified from different kinds of rumors. You cannot deny that the jewel is with you, because we can understand that you have enhanced your opulence and are performing sacrifices on an altar made of solid gold." The properties of the jewel were known. Wherever the jewel remained, it would produce for the keeper almost 9 mounds of pure gold daily. Akura was getting gold in that proportion and distributing it profusely at sacrificial performances. Lord Krishna cited Akura's lavishly spending gold as positive evidence of his possessing the Syamantak jewel. When Lord Krishna, in friendly terms and sweet language, impressed Akura about the real fact, and Akura understood that nothing could be concealed from the knowledge of Sri Krishna, he brought the valuable jewel, covered by cloth, but shining like the sun, and presented it before Krishna. Lord Krishna took the Syamantak jewel in his hand and showed it to all his relatives and friends present, and then returned the jewel to Akura in their presence, so that they would know that the jewel was actually being kept by Akura in Dvarka City. This story of the Syamantak jewel is very significant. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that anyone who hears the story of the Syamantak jewel, or describes it, or simply remembers it, will be free from all kinds of defamation and the reactions of all impious activities, and thus will attain the highest perfectional condition of peace. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 22nd chapter of Krishna, The Killing of Satyajit and Shatadanva.